I see that there are many, many people in the waiting room, but they have to be let in. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. I am a visitor.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Good to see you. Right. As I said, there are many, many people waiting in the waiting room, and they are not divided across the breakout sessions yet. Probably some of them will join us. But I would suggest that we start right away. I'm going to play the first poster by Venera Abdullah from Kazakhstan Medical University in Kazakhstan. She will talk about medication use in Kazakhstan elite athletes during the COVID-19 pandemic. The video will be about 3 minutes. And after that, you will have another 3 to 5 minutes to discuss her contents with her. Good morning, Aurora.
Good morning.
Great. So I don't know if you have heard what I just said, just some technical information. And I can see that you have also sent the video. I will play all the videos after. So every presenter will receive like 8-9 minutes, and the video is 3 minutes, and then there will be a discussion about 5 minutes. And at the end, if there is still some time left, we can together have an open discussion. So, and the first presenter is Venera Abdullah, and I will now start the video. And share my screen. So you have to tell me, do you see the screen now?
Yes,
we see, thank you.
Okay, great. But I forgot to enable the sound. So this time, and just let me know if you hear the sound, because in a technical test, we had some difficulties with it.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, good morning. My name is Venera Abdullah. I am a PhD student of Kazakhstan University, Kazakhstan School of Public Health. I'm here to present my research paper named Medication Use in Kazakhstan Elite Athletes During the COVID-19 Pandemic. I would like to thank the organizers of 11th European Conference on Health Promotion for providing me the opportunity to present my paper. In the light of global coronavirus disease crisis, many elite athletes were under stress due to the lockdown and cancellations of all major sport events, including Olympic Games in Tokyo. Fear of a new and unexplored type of viral infection and constant updates of treatment algorithms led to the uncontrolled intake of various medications and supplements without counseling with the doctors. During 2020, elite athletes were under continuous monitoring from the side of both national and international anti-doping organizations. All the athletes selected for doping control have to declare medications and supplements taken within the past 7 days as a part of the doping control procedure. We reviewed the data obtained from 800 doping control forms that were completed from May to September 2020 and compared them with the data obtained at the doping control a year before. The objective of our research was to review the medications used by Kazakhstani elite athletes during the COVID-19 pandemic, to review the rates of medication usage and the number of medications used by an individual athlete. All medications declared by the athletes during the doping control were classified into 5 major groups: amino acids, vitamins, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, antiviral agents, and other supplements. And they were also categorized according to the type of sport, disciplines, and athlete sex. As a result, among 800 athletes tested during the out-of-competition testing program, the use of medications were reported by 97%. These varied between different types of sport and sexes. 74% reported the use of amino acids, 54% reported the use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and 69% reported the use of more than 4 medications at the same time. As conclusion, we revealed the overuse of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, antiviral drugs and supplements by Kazakhstani elite athletes, which requires implementation of control measures and development of support services. Thank you for your kind attention.
Venera, thank you so much. This was a very interesting presentation on medication intake by professional athletes in Kazakhstan.
Thank you.
Yes, and let's open the discussion. Direct your questions and comments to Venera. Just raise your hands if you have to say something. Okay, maybe then I have some questions. You tested or you assessed the medication use during the COVID pandemic and concluded that there was an overuse by medication intake. So two questions maybe. Do you have any comparable data from prior to the COVID pandemic? How much medication intake do athletes normally use? And on the other hand, you said that different kinds of medication intakes ads were taken, like vitamins and others. Can you also differentiate between those and maybe tell a bit about how risky some are and if maybe others are not so harmful? And what, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your questions. Yes, we compared, first of all, based on the information, on the data collected during during the same time period, 1 year before, in 2019. As we can see, it's also available on my presentation on the second slide. If we just compare, we can see that, for example, the antiviral drugs in 2019, they were used only 14% of athletes declared the usage of antiviral drugs. But at the same time, in 2020, 47% of athletes declared the usage of antiviral drugs, which is increased, we can see. The same occurs for the other medications. By meaning the, for example, other medications, we can say it's about the supplements, as other vitamins and some other drugs, for example, which were used for as antibiotics during some diseases which were acquired. Yes, thank you very much. So we can see from the second diagram the differences of usage of the drugs, medications in comparing with 2019 and 2020. So the number of athletes who used, as I already said, that who used antiviral drugs was increased. The same for the non-steroidal drugs and also for the other medications. So as I said, the other medications, we mean different medications that could be the antibiotics, vitamins, different supplements, so and so on.
Yes, thank you. And I'm just looking if there are any other questions from the audiences. Let me have a quick peek. I can see. Maybe then I have another question. Did you have any opportunity to talk to the athletes afterwards and just find out why they did take more medication during the pandemic than prior to it?
Yes, sure. We had some. Of course, we are, the reason why we are we studied this data is because it's a part of our research in terms of the PhD. Because I'm a PhD student, so it's a part of our study. And we also discussed with the athletes, and they mentioned that. The first reason was that they had some viral diseases, and the second reason was that they were afraid of the coronavirus disease, and they just use the antiviral drugs, non-steroidal drugs, just because of like in a, to make sure that they will not be not take a disease, or yes, or they will not be infected by the coronavirus. So they thought that if they use, that would be like that the coronavirus disease would be less how to say aggressive, maybe, yes, for them. So, and they didn't consult with their team doctors, with their local doctors. Some of them consulted and were prescribed by the doctors some of the drugs, so because of their illnesses, but mostly they were just afraid of the diseases.
Thank you so much, Venera. Then we will move on to the next poster presentation. Let me just...
Thank you.
And the next presenter is Stella Georgieva from Medical University Pleven in Bulgaria, and she will present research on the effectiveness of health promotion and the control of the COVID-19 pandemic. Right.
Dear colleagues, my name is Stella Georgieva, representing Medical University Pleven, Bulgaria. My report was titled Effectiveness of Health Promotion on the Control of COVID-19 Pandemic. The 35-year history of health promotion from the Ottawa Charter to the present confirms the effectiveness of this concept for public health improvement. As you let's see on the figure number one, the Tannehill model defines health promotion as a wide range of activities in three overlapping spheres: health education, disease prevention, and health protection. The aim of this paper is to analyze the relevance and effectiveness of the health promotion model to the control of distribution and burden of COVID-19 on public health. Literature review and content analysis of publications on the topic were made. The sources analyzed confirmed the importance of health promotion on the control of pandemic. Health education has an essential role in case of a new or little known disease such as COVID-19. Information must be timely, understandable, and coordinated at regional, national, and international levels to motivate people to healthy behavior and observing anti-epidemic measures. Unclear and contradictory information lead to people's reluctance to comply with them. The second sphere, specific prophylaxis through vaccines, is considered the most effective measure to reduce COVID-19 infection worldwide, despite some difficulties in their production and logistics at short notice. The third sphere, health protection and establishing minimum standards, enhance protective behavior and create safe public and working environment by issuing warnings, recommendations, and by imposing legal restrictions. These measures generally lead to a reduction in morbidity and mortality of the disease. In conclusion, the model and concept of health promotion may be applicable and very effective in the situation of health crisis due to COVID-19 pandemic. Improvement of health knowledge, adoption of healthy behavior, and effective political and legislative protection of health will definitely contribute for decreasing the burden on national health system and negative effect on the society. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you so much, Stella, for sending us this video and giving us insights into this important study on health promotion and how health education, prevention, and protection contributes to it. Any questions to Stella at on her research. I will, of course, open the presentation again and share the screen with you. Just give me a moment. This way you can see her poster. I hope you see my screen. Yes. So, right, let's have some questions to Stella. I'm also revisiting the chat to see if anything is posted there. The video was not on the screen, Stella?
Now it's on the screen.
But before
was not.
You did not see the video.
Now we see the video, but before, during the presentation, we didn't see the video.
We just only heard the voice.
Oh my goodness. Apologies. Why didn't you say anything? I'm so sorry. I thought that you were seeing it.
It's okay.
Okay.
But we'll listen it. Yeah. Great presentation. Thank you, Stella.
Yeah.
So there are not many pictures and graphs on the poster. There is just presented the most popular model of health promotion, Tannehill model. And my idea was to analyze if these three overlapping spheres contribute to fight with COVID-19. What is the importance of health education, of disease prevention, and health protection. As a whole, this is my idea. If you have any questions, I'm available to discuss.
Yeah, maybe I just two questions. Is health promotion important policy strategy in your country, and was it also implemented during the COVID-19 pandemic?
So I hope so, but there are some difficulties to put into practice health promotion concept. For example, in the sphere of health education, not always information is timely, understandable, and coordinated. And if information is not understandable for people, they are not motivated to observe recommendations of health authorities. In the session of prophylaxis, specific prevention of COVID, especially by vaccines, there also were some difficulties because at this moment, not a very big proportion of people in Bulgaria are vaccinated. But of course, health authorities work in this direction. There are efforts on this direction. And health protection includes warning, recommendations, and legislative restriction. And I think it is available in Bulgaria.
Thank you so much, Stella. And again, apologies that I didn't master to stream your video. I hope the next attempt will be more successful, but please let me know if you cannot see the video. So the next presenter is Nuria Reichardt-Berini, but I don't see her in our workshop. Let me just check all the attendees, and also maybe, no, she's not here. Okay, there's nothing we can do if she's not here, and she has also not sent a video. She was actually the one who wanted to present live. Then let's move to Gerd Lang. I can see. No. He was here for a couple of minutes, but now he's gone. I just give me a second. He was here, and I think you just went into a different room. No, I can't find them anymore. Okay. Nothing we can do about that either. So what I will do is Aurora, the fifth presenter, she is here and I have her video. So what I'm going to do is now I will show Aurora's video. Welcome Aurora from Art Città Metropolitana di Milano from Italy, and she will present research on the COVID-19 pandemic and gambling addiction as health system challenges. Let's cross fingers.
This contribution is called COVID-19
pandemic. That you will be able to see this one.
To share the video.
So do you see the video? Just give me a sign.
Not yet. Okay.
This contribution is called COVID-19 Pandemic and Gambling Addiction as Health System Challenges, Critical Reflections on Public Health Policy Principles. We started from a comparison between COVID-19 pandemic and gambling addiction. In fact, despite they are characterized by different clinical and epidemiological features, both can be considered health system challenges because of their incidence in the population and their social and health consequences on different settings and target groups. This complexity suggests the importance of developing global and system health promotion policies. For this reason, our aim was to analyze if health promotion principles can be successfully used to manage complex public health problems like the COVID-19 pandemic and the gambling addiction that we focus on. These health promotion principles are health literacy, health equity, empowerment, and intersectoral collaboration. Therefore, we carried out a qualitative analysis on scientific and institutional documents related to Italian health policies and programs covering the two phenomena. Specifically, we have examined the health promotion principles implementation and developed a theoretical reflection on their efficacy to manage both issues' complexity. As you can see from the results, empowerment and intersectoral collaboration strategies are more addressed and implemented both in prevention gambling programs and in COVID-19 emergency interventions. Conversely, even if they are mentioned as important strategies in national and international policy documents, health literacy and health equity seem to be more difficult to develop on a practical level. In addition, the analysis shows that health promotion principles can be effective if their implementation is continuous, flexible, and timely. As closing remarks of this contribution, the resulting critical aspects suggest the need to make health information more available, clearer, and target-tailored, so as to promote health literacy as a fundamental prevention tool of communicable and non-communicable diseases, while also supporting health equity actions. Finally, we want to highlight that future policies should achieve the homogeneous application of the four principles, which are considered as mutually dependent elements in the health promotion field. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you so much, Aurora. Just give me a second to share your presentation. Right. Do you see the presentation now on the screen? Great. Again, Aurora, thank you so much. This is an important study on gambling addiction, health promotion, and even health literacy during the COVID-19 pandemic. Any questions to Aurora? Comments? Okay, then I have a couple of questions. It is so interesting to see that you have investigated gambling addiction and the social and health consequences. I can see that you also had a focus on health literacy. Can you tell us a bit more? How did you assess health literacy, or what concept of health literacy did you use for underpinning your research?
Yes, of course. We have analyzed the concept of health literacy in general, and by focusing on legislative and programming documents, Italian documents, policies, and also scientific articles to investigate if health literacy, or in general, information and sensibilization actions were developed for the COVID-19 pandemic and also for the gambling addiction. And we have found that regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, there have been developed action toward the to promote health literacy, but in some way they were related to the emergency, and without focusing on a specific target of population. So it is a limit related also to the concept and to the strategies of health equity. Instead, regarding the gambling addiction, there are documents, important documents, Italian documents related to health promotion in general, which the most important is the National Prevention Plan, in which health literacy is declared as an important strategies and objective. And it is also an objective in some regional policies about gambling, but we found that it is difficult to develop on a practical level, because we haven't found a structured ways and action to implement health literacy. So it is sometimes it depends on the sensibility of the politicians of a local context. I hope to.
Yeah, thank you so much. Totally fine. And maybe since you have explored gambling addiction, do you have any information if during the pandemic in Italy the rates of gambling addiction increased, or was there any change?
Yes, in fact, the two phenomena are related also for this reason. So we didn't investigate in this contribution this relation, but we have analyzed in other contribution this relation, and we found that yes, during the at the beginning of the pandemic in Italy, the restriction and the protection measures for the pandemic have limited the gambling practice, especially on site, gambling on site, and we were interested to investigate if if gambling was have been more practiced on the online, And at the beginning of the pandemic, we didn't find this relation. But now and at the end of the 2020, it seems that the practice of gambling practice increase the practice of gambling.
Thank you so much, Aurora. I will just stop sharing my screen if there are no further questions or comments regarding your presentation. And I make a suggestion. I still have one video left by Gerd Lang from Austria. But before I play it, maybe he will join us. I will just replay Stella's video because you were not able to see it, if that's okay, because I think you made all the efforts to record it and we couldn't see it. I will just play it once again. It's only 3 minutes. And maybe in the meanwhile, the colleague from Austria will join us. And if not, I will just play it if you are fine with it. So give me a second. All right. Do you see?
Dear colleagues, my name is Stella Georgieva, representing Medical University Pleven, Bulgaria. My report was titled Effectiveness of Health Promotion on the Control of COVID-19 Pandemic. The 35-year history of health promotion from the Ottawa Charter to the present confirms the effectiveness of this concept for public health improvement. As you let see on the figure number one, the Tannehill model defines health promotion as a wide range of activities in three overlapping spheres: health education, disease prevention, and health protection. The aim of this paper is to analyze the relevance and effectiveness of the health promotion model to the control of distribution and burden of COVID-19 on public health. Literature review and content analysis of publications on the topic were made. The sources analyzed confirmed the importance of health promotion on the control of pandemic. Health education has an essential role in case of a new or little known disease such as COVID-19. Information must be timely, understandable, and coordinated at regional, national, and international levels to motivate people to healthy behavior and observing anti-epidemic measures. Unclear and contradictory information lead to people's reluctance to comply with them. The second sphere, specific prophylaxis through vaccines, is considered the most effective measure to reduce COVID-19 infection worldwide, despite some difficulties in their production and logistics at short notice. The third sphere, health protection and establishing minimum standards, enhance protective behavior and create safe public and working environment by issuing warnings, recommendations, and by imposing legal restrictions. These measures generally lead to a reduction in morbidity and mortality of the disease. In conclusion, the model and concept of health promotion may be applicable and very effective in the situation of health crisis due to COVID-19 pandemic. Improvement of health knowledge, adoption of healthy behavior, and effective political and legislative protection of health will definitely contribute for decreasing the burden on national health system and negative effect on the society. Thank you for your attention.
Again, Stella, so I hope we have corrected the issue that we were not able to see your video. And I am still seeking out the different waiting rooms and the breakout session waiting rooms to see if one of our other presenters just has some technical issues in joining us. But no matter the way, I will just play the next video that I have by Gerd Lang from Austrian Health Promotion Fund, and he has conducted a research on health promoting telework during COVID-19 in Austrian companies, intention and influencing factors. So let me start the presentation.
My presentation is about health promoting telework during COVID-19.
All right, do you see the screen?
My presentation is about health promoting telework during COVID-19 in Austrian companies, intention and influencing factors. Companies had to quick find solutions for continuing work from home due to COVID-19 pandemic in spring 2020. However, working conditions at home do not always comply with general basic principles and quality criteria of holistic workplace health promotion. Therefore, the following question needed to be addressed. What does the intention depend on to introduce or further develop health promoting telework in the company and to use supporting materials for health promoting telework? Which factors favor or hinder this behavioral intention? Research methodology was developed by the use of behavioral theory. Here it was based on the theory of planned behavior. Corresponding research hypotheses were derived and operationalized with relevant individual, social and organizational background variables. After the first lockdown in spring 2020, an existing guideline for health promoting telework was sent to a selection of 1,800 Austrian companies and were asked to participate in an standardized online survey. A sample of 192 company representatives with a broad mix of company sizes, industries, sectors, and regions in Austria is available. In the figure shown in the graph nearby, there are results of a multivariate path model, and it confirmed the high significance of social norms and behavioral control beliefs of company representatives for the intention to install or further develop health promoting telework in the company. And it highlights that the intention to use supporting materials such as guidelines for health promoting telework is mainly influenced by the intention to implement telework, but also by the perceived behavioral control. Whereas the individual attitude toward health promoting telework does not play a significant role. All effects are controlled for factors such as gender, age, and company size. Conclusions: telework has not been considered enough in the sense of holistic health promotion and has not been implemented accordingly. The implementation of this comprehensive sense strongly depends on health promoting company structures, such as workplace health promotion norms and culture, but also on the scope of action, for instance, control convictions and possibilities of internal decision makers. In order to build up competence and knowledge, it is necessary to offer customized training and materials to promote the health of employees in a complete sense.
Okay, so at least we were able to see the presentation and listen to this very interesting issue about telework in Austria. All right, so we have a fifth presenter, but it seems that she is not here, and I don't have any presentation to share with you, so no poster from her end. So I believe there is nothing we can do. Maybe she's going to join us and maybe not. So here's what we can do. We can still stay in this room and have a discussion on the different research and your posters that you presented. But in case you want to share anything else or have a comment to one of the posters that you just saw, just come forward and let's have a discussion. Otherwise, I just suggest, because we don't have any further poster, you can, of course, go and listen to one of the other poster sessions, because I can see some are still ongoing there, if that is okay with you.
Thank you. We will see, I think I will go to another to see Great. Some other presentations. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Binera. You're welcome. All right. So I, Aurora, Stella, anything from your end?
I suggest, if it's possible, to see another posters.
So you also
if
want
there, to... if there are available videos for them.
Yeah, you have
matter
to.
That authors are not available in the session.
In this session, I have shown all the videos that I received. I have no further videos, but you can. Some of the other sessions are still ongoing. You can just switch the breakout room. You can just go to another breakout room. Should I do it? I can just put you, for example, to any of the rooms that you want me to.
Yes. If it's possible to join in other rooms, yes?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is a good decision, I think.
Great. Then maybe you first try yourself to join, then you can choose which one do you want to join. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you.
Bye bye. And what about you, Aurora?
For me, it's okay. I'm going to another room to watch.
Great. Then I am now leaving the room, and you have to do the same. Okay.
Okay.
I will also join one of the other sessions. Bye bye. It was so nice to hear about you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.